Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. It's Drew here, and today I'm joined by Brett McPherson. Brett, how you going, mate?
Doing well, thanks, mate. It's good to have a chat in lockdown.
Absolutely. Lockdown podcast episodes. How good are they? So today we're going to cover one of our most important topics, I reckon. This is the concept of slow, progressive advancements, I suppose, towards your goals. It comes to exercise, it comes from nutrition. And basically, I want to chat to you about the number one, I guess, the importance of these slow, progressive, controlled advancements. And also how your experience has pointed over the years to them being a sustainable long-term solution for people transitioning into this, healthy habit change, right? So if you want to start off by kind of introducing us to, I guess, the importance of slow progressive, advancements in habit change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think over my 20 something years in the fitness industry now, I mean, when you're early in the industry, it's all about getting results fast for your customer that's paying you good money to work with you. And then over the years, it really has switched in my mind that fast isn't necessarily sustainable, and what gets you there in the short term doesn't necessarily let you keep the results in the long term. So if it's something that you're trying to work towards as a long-term goal, like being healthier and maintaining a healthy body for the rest of your life, it's a different result than if you're cutting weight for a fight or like trying to get fit for a wedding and you don't really care after that. Sure, we don't do that, but it really is chalk and cheese over. Like, you can follow a short-term plan for a short period and get a fixed result, but whether that result is maintained over the next 1, 2, 10, 15 years is a different story altogether. So it's a system of trying to work through challenges and take out obstacles that are in your way, that maybe we haven't identified yet. But it can be a hard slog, but the hard slog is generally more maintainable than a quick 6 week low carb program.
And I guess to put the whole this whole concept into perspective, we're talking about, let's use that no carb as an example. You have the extreme at one end who, won't eat any carbohydrates whatsoever. And what we're talking about is not being at that extreme end, being somewhere in the middle where you slowly start to habit change, you slowly start to change your nutrition strategy whilst including carbohydrates, but maybe modifying types of carbohydrates or making, small changes every couple of weeks to kind of keep some, I guess, real worldism in your lifestyle, without being too extreme, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when people start a weight loss program, we're all super motivated and ready to go. You're ready to make all the changes in the world to get something that's immediate. But we all know motivation wanes over time and goes ups and downs like a roller coaster. That it's consistency over time that'll get you the results. And going. We get distracted. We hear from a friend who's on a different plan, and we wonder if we're on the fastest or the best plan to get us the goals we're looking for. And it's sometimes that distraction or that lack of consistency doesn't give you enough time to adjust to the plan and to let it work. And then come up against an obstacle sometimes when it might be, if say it was the low carb diet. We realize that we like carbs, and then we have to deal with that whole thing to get through that challenge. But there are different strategies for different people and different amount of I guess like different amount of hurt to get the result. But it really depends on the right plan for the right person at the right time. And there's certainly plenty of things we can do to try different things, but the plan that gets us the result is the one that works for us long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've seen this so many times over the years. You know, you kind of get this short-term motivation, and people kind of rely on motivation to get them towards their end goal, right? They try and ride the wave of motivation, but you know, motivation isn't necessarily the thing that's going to get us to where we need to get to. It's implementing, you know, small, you know, consistent habit changes. You've said the word consistent so many times already in this conversation. You know, it really is just those small, consistent changes that are going to get us to where we want to be. And you know, if we use the example of saving money, for example, we're not going to save, you know, $100,000 in one hit. It's going to go in small chunks. And it's the same thing with our nutrition or exercise plan. And speaking of exercise, I don't think there's a better example of how important this progressive kind of nature of you know, progressively advancing when it comes to exercise. I think exercise is probably the best example, right?
Yeah, exercise is a great example. You know, you and I talk about nutrition quite a lot because that's you're an expert in that field. But we've both been in exercise for quite a while now that we've seen beginners and people who are advanced come into our gyms and do personal training with us. And often it's taking someone who's an absolute beginner, you're layering skills on top of each other to get a result. Each exercise we give someone resistance training, cardiovascular exercise, they all require a little bit of skill that's quite easy to learn. But someone who's been training for a week has a very different grasp of an exercise than someone who's been training for a year. And that's when we can really start to, like we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that when someone's first starting, it's more about trying to learn how to move. Learn how to try and get the right muscle working in the right exercise and develop a mind-muscle connection, which certainly takes some time. But once you start to build that connection to the muscle you're trying to work and you start to master the skill of each movement, you're a bit more comfortable with it. You know how to fail. You can fail safely and not be scared of failure in the weight training world. Then we really start to see some progress where you can start to push closer to muscle failure, and the progression really does come from that. So it's getting comfortable with a little bit of hurt, but it's a lot of skill that goes into when you first start in the gym if you haven't touched a weight before, into people who have been there for a year or have been training their whole lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about habits. Let's talk about how important, how essential it is to develop sustainable habit change. And this could be with anything in life, but obviously we're going to direct it specifically towards exercise and nutrition. Let's talk about how crucial that is towards our long-term results, our long-term outcome, as opposed to kind of riding the wave of motivation, as we spoke about before.
Yeah, absolutely. I refer to the idea of stacking habits or layering habits. Sometimes when people come to us, we look at what they're saying, the nutrition side of things, and people looking for advanced strategies. And sometimes the best thing they can do is just start to drink more water if that's not something that's something basic like that habit. Sometimes the best thing they can do is to drink more water, the most effective, because water has such a massive impact on everything they do in the gym and nutrition wise. Then we're adding exercise to the mix, and then we're adding some more, I guess this is interesting, but even like some more advanced nutrition layers on that. And you mentioned before about f the finance of saving, but with these, when you start with a habit, master a habit, and then add another layer on top of that, we tend to compound the benefit over time. There's something a book we love called Atomic Habits by James Clear. He says habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. The same way that money multiplies through compound interest, the effects of your habits multiply as you repeat them. Not only that is you can layer once you have a habit and you're repeating that habit over time and so mastering it over time is you can start something like drinking water regularly and you add a new habit like adding resistance training and you add a new habit like being a little bit more tolerant of cardiovascular training. And over time you have 10, 15, 20 habits, which don't feel like new things anymore. They're things that you start to master, and that effect of compounding over time really does pay off in the long term. And it's worth going through the struggle to master a particular exercise or master a particular eating skill. And that's something over the years is really quite powerful because when people get to the point where they've been training for a while, they often sort of say, "I feel like this is quite easy now, and I want to try and look for a more challenging." And it's sometimes helpful to look back on what they've done over the time and say, look, week one, we did this, and now you're consistently drinking water. Week two, we started looking at an assessment of how many calories you're eating, and maybe we did some calorie counting or some awareness exercises around food. And that's not something they're looking at anymore. It's not something they need to look back at anymore because it's something that just becomes more natural.
Yeah, it's
So,
autonomous. Yeah, absolutely.
yeah. And that competence really does start to allow you to build with a foundation in place that allows things to be a bit more sustainable.
Yeah, I remember some of James Clear's posts, post writing the book, and one thing that really sticks out is these habits that we're talking about become automatic behavior, and they're things that we start to do without even thinking about it. Use the example of drinking more water. It's something that's so I guess easy to do that it just becomes automatic behavior after a set point in time, but when we talk about the other end of the scale and these kind of giant, Herculean efforts towards doing a 6-week challenge or a 6-week shred before summer or before your wedding or whatever, it is a real task. You have to put every ounce of your energy, every ounce of waking energy needs to go into these, cutting calories and counting calories and, exercising your pants off and not having any treat foods and all this sort of stuff. So, James Clear always says the difference between habits and I guess not habits, not changing habits, is the effort required for building these fundamental habits is very, very low, whereas the other end of the spectrum, the effort required is very, very high. So that's a great way to put things into perspective for people. If we talk about, I guess, like the practicality of this, right? So this comes obviously from experience and all that sort of stuff. Practically, for people listening, where do you think they start with this? Do you think it's as simple as, pick one habit or pick one, one, I guess habit is the word that they want to work on or focus on or whatever. Do they pick one? Do they pick two? Do they do it, weekly or fortnightly or monthly? Is there a guideline for that? Or what do you think people can practically focus on?
I think from the big thing I look at when someone first we talk about it all the time when someone comes to personal training that people like we would love to get beginners come to us because when you have a beginner you have someone who's ready to follow some basic steps to get that forward whereas people who are more advanced with their training have preconceived ideas of how they should move how they should do things and it's sometimes changing minds and that sort of thing, which is a hard thing to do. But when you get a beginner, I think we talk some basic things and looking at what's holding them back. And so it could be something like, am I having enough water? That's one we talk a lot about, of course. But then the next thing is how much am I moving during a day? And particularly like I don't want to date this episode, but certainly during the COVID-19 lockdowns, it's really become obvious of how much people don't do around their household necessarily. And then getting out for a walk each day is something that's so profound to how our energy sits, how our energy is over the day. And it's something that's free, it's easy. So they're probably my first two free things. Drink more water. And then something simple like get out and move. And then we can start to look at things like resistance training, which are very, very helpful for a lot of different reasons long term. But I think that the simple things are often the foundational things that we should be doing anyway.
Yeah,
we're just
absolutely.
Enjoying and getting outside.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Absolutely. And do you think, you know, once someone's kind of nailed drinking more water, then move on to the next habit of moving more frequently? And then once they've nailed that, then move on to the next habit? Or do you think trying to focus on a few different at the same time would be beneficial? Or
I think we're all in different places in our life and how much we can handle. And that's something that we look at when people come in for a personal training session of what else is going on. Often like to think about what are people doing well already is something that we can just call attention to.
Yep.
So looking at someone's lifestyle, looking at, if you're listening to this, looking at what you're doing over a day, and have a think about the things that make you feel good, that help your mental health, that help your physical health, that make you feel more energetic, and look to do those more often. It might just be calling a friend or if it is going outside or walking your dog or whatever it is, look at what you're doing already that is contributing to you feeling better. They're the things you want to try and they're the things you're already doing naturally. And I think they're the things that we want to try and, like we all know, like we might think back to how good we felt 10 years ago when we started meditating and we just stopped for no reason. Mm-hmm. You go, I should do that. So they're the sort of things I look back at what's happening naturally already that we could simply do more of. And then from there, it's possible that people are in a place where they could handle a couple of different things, adding exercise, drinking more water, starting to eat more vegetables, looking at eating more protein. Some of that might come naturally in the mix, but I think the how much can you handle as far as change right now is a very personal decision and one that you should get a sense of if you were looking for change of how much do I want to change right now. Might be super motivated. There might be a lot of stress going on and small manageable changes over time will probably work quite well.
Yeah, there's a great scale, the ready, willing and able to scale, to change scale, sorry. Which, you know, I guess really plays into that. It's, are you ready to change? Are you willing to change? And are you able to change? And, you know, lifestyle factors and work and stress and kids and finance and all those things play a factor in that. So I guess the answer to my question, you've answered perfectly, is really it depends on the individual, but we could all benefit from, you know, some kind of habit change, right? Some kind of small incremental habit change.
Yeah, I think if you look at what's positive in your life and what's contributing to you feeling more of how you want to feel. And I think the other thing, like looking at things that are draining your energy or things that are making you feel how you don't want to feel, because sometimes just eliminating something like that is a good way to start. Yeah. Eliminate draining things and maximize things that are giving you energy as a simple way to start. And then, if you're ready for more change, there's plenty of things we can do. But people, the all or nothing folks versus the people that have done it before and maybe failed. But I use the analogy. There's a great precision nutrition article that talks about treating habit change or this process as a dial rather than a switch, where if we get at a point where we aren't particularly ready for change or we're not particularly ready to continue with the program, it's much better to dial it back a bit. So maybe take some high intensity resistance training out of it, bring it back a little bit, keep some resistance training, but bring the volume down. And then you're able to better still progress in the right direction. But there's times when we're super stressed and there's a lot going on and we can't handle the additional stress that exercise can provide. In a lot of cases, it's a lot of people will just simply switch off and then I'll go back to exercise when I'm ready, whereas all we need to do is sometimes just dial it back to a level that they can handle. And it really is, just by doing some simple exercise, you can still maintain a lot of your progress, but on and off switching is harder to maintain. So I think that's a really good analogy of light switch on off is not the best strategy. It's easy just to dial it back a bit and then dial it back up when energy is better.
That is such a good analogy. That is such a good analogy towards like all kinds of habit change, but exercise and nutrition in particular. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something I see so many times in friends and people like the salesman friends of mine and people in their high stress, high impact jobs where it's just 1,000% and then drained. Yeah,
All or
training a little
nothing.
bit of that. Yeah,
All or
doesn't work
nothing.
as well.
Brett, I want to finish on the question I think like me and you love talking about, right? It's specifically regarding exercise and what we do in the studio, you know, this progressive overload when it comes to people's exercise as opposed to random workouts. And it kind of, you know, this slow progressive program versus random internet. Or just random, you know, WODs, I suppose. Why, I guess, is the number one question. Why do we do that? What, why is that so important to focus on? And I guess number two, from your experience, what have you found over the years, or as far as, I guess, long-term adherence or sustainable results or just results in general with the clients that have kind of followed the methodology of slow progressive overload versus the clients that have just been looking for the random workouts and the random hit stuff and, you know, without, you know, any desire to kind of follow a program.
Yeah, sure. I think it goes back to where I started in my career at 99. A lot of it was about delivering one-off workouts, and not really having an understanding of what gets people to progress in resistance training. I guess cardio training as well. The basics of it, just to brush over that so everyone knows, is we're looking at what's called the training principle, training effect, that you do something that you're not used to, that causes an overload on your body. And if we're talking about muscle, particularly with resistance training, or it might be cardiovascular system with cardio training. And then your body will go into a fatigue state, and then you'll recover out of that over the next 24, 48 hours if it's resistance training, and cardiovascular is something different. So it's all about trying to maximize essentially micro tear muscle damage to get a good overload effect in a way that's safe for you. So we're not delaying the chance of you being able to exercise and then maximizing recovery. And then you get an overcompensation. Your body starts to adapt to the exercise you're doing. That's basically how it works. The issue with a random program or something, if you're doing a series of workouts through an app, is a lot of times it's literally a new exercise, a new stimulus each time, and you don't get a chance to adapt. And I'm, as a trainer, a very strategic trainer, I guess, that I when someone comes and pays us good money to work with them and write a program for them and to work through them, I want the best result for them in the shortest time possible, but I want the sustainable result. And a lot of people coming, particularly coming to us at Avexia, is they're coming out of other programs they've been to. They might have tried a gym 10 years ago and it didn't work for them, and they started getting knee pain or something like that. It's about trying to find where is that person at? What exercises can we do in a safe, effective way? That not cause it going to cause further injuries, and then how do we progress them to where they want to get? And if I'm giving them a random workout each day when they come in, I can't guarantee that result. Each time we do a new workout, it's a different stimulus. Whereas if I can literally start with a series of weight training exercises, slowly increase the repetitions or the sets or the weight, or in early stages, sometimes just range of motion, doing a better movement. I can guarantee that that person's going to progress in the right direction and be stronger at the end of a 4 week, 12 week, 8 month period. If the consistency there, it works every time. And we see it in our programs. You see it in the people day in, day out over my 20 something years in the industry. It's simply super effective. But as humans, we tend to get distracted. We look for entertainment in exercise, and that's all well and good. But essentially, it needs to come to what's called a progressive overload effect. If you don't have a progressive overload, it's a bit shotgun approach on whether it's going to work for you. Whereas if it is systematic, it'll work, and it doesn't have to be complex. In most cases, it's better if it's not. If it's simple, we know it's going to work over time, and that's why it's so important that we program and we're not just turning up each day and writing a program for someone, or if you jump onto an app and do a workout today and it's a different workout tomorrow. It could work, but in most cases, we know it tends to lead into this distraction randomness workout, which leads into an all nothing effect over time.
Yeah, absolutely. If you stimulate it, the muscle, it will get stronger and it will start to grow. And it really is as simple as that when it comes to exercise science. Muscles are very responsive to just being worked. And that's exactly why we do it repeatedly over and over and over again. Bretto, let's finish off, mate. Parting words, parting advice. If you could summarize this in a sentence or in a couple of sentences, what would be the big take home messages, I suppose, for those listening?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking for, I'm not sure I'd dial it down to one sentence, but it almost is to keep it simple and progress from there. It's about consistency more than advanced training techniques. And we have a bit of a bias towards going into being distracted, looking for something new. When you start an exercise program, you'll talk to your friends about it, and they'll tell you the best thing that they did. What we do consistently will likely work. And ideally, we just want to keep it consistent. We want to keep it safe, and then build on that from there. And we see it every day. It's almost shocking each time we see it and look back at someone's program, and you go, "Oh, look how far that person's come." And really get excited to show them and say, "Here's the program we did. It's something I used to do when I first started, and still do when we can get back in the gym." Is someone for someone's first year anniversary, I'll take the first program they did with me, and I'll kind of just double it. And it's shocking that how many times they go, "Oh, I can't do the double," and then they get through that workout quite easily, and they go, "Oh my God, that was a year ago, and I couldn't get through that workout. I felt horrible, but now look at me, I'm doing double that, and I feel fine." So yeah, it's a fun job to be in, and where there's consistency, there will be results. You see it all the time.
That's the word of the day, consistency. That's the one message I think I've taken out of this chat is just, being consistent, focusing on small incremental habits, instead of always focusing on the big final outcome goal. I think focusing on little fundamental habits and breaking those down as simply as possible and then being consistent with those is the recipe to success, I suppose. Brett, great chat, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Happy to chat. That was fun.
And we'll speak again soon.